Way.
I wanted to let you know that. All right, we're in 2 Samuel 19, and we had the idea of Joab reproving David. I mean, he really got on to him, and the more you read this, the more you can see Joab's boldness. So, in verse 5, Joab came into the house to the king and said, "You have shamed this day the faces of all your servants, who this day have saved your life and the lives of your sons and your daughters and the lives of your wives and the lives of your concubines, and that you love them that hate you and hate them that love you. For you have declared this day that the princes and servants are naught to you. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived, and we'd all died this day, that would have been fine with you. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto your servants, for I swear by the Lord, if you do not go forth, there will not tarry a man with you this night, and that will be worse with thee than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now." Now, David needed somebody to tell him that, and Joab did it. So, let me go back just a page or so here. So I want to read this part. In every kingdom, in every situation where one is in high authority, there are those who advise the chief, but who would hesitate to rebuke him when he makes a mistake. Then there are a very few select ones who are close enough to the king or chief to be able to walk in and say the thing that everyone knows needs to be said, but has been hesitating to say it. Such was the relationship between Joab and David. Though there is much to criticize, and I feel like I need to give Joab a little credit, because usually I'm very critical of Joab, because he's a sneak. But anyway. So there are those who hesitate to rebuke him when he makes a mistake. There are very few select ones who are close enough to the king or chief to be able to walk in and say the thing that needs to be said, but it has been hesitating to say such. Such was the relationship between Joab and David. Though there is much to criticize in Joab's life, this is one time his rebuke was needed. David was allowing his personal grief to interfere with his wisdom in guiding his nation. So, the battle with Absalom was over. That was done. And so, David is going to return to his kingdom. And so, David was hearing the rumors, and this is true here in chapter 19. So in verse 10, the people were saying, verse 8, let's see. Steve, you want to read verse 8? Begin in verse 8. This is 1 Kings 19 in verse 8. Go ahead. So what is the situation here? The people are all kind of two minds about things. They kind of blame David, and they're blaming Absalom. So in verse 11, King David sent Zadok and Abiathar to the priest, saying, "Speak to the elders of Judah." Now Judah was the tribe of David. Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, Why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of Israel is come to the king to bring him to his house. You are my brethren. You are my bone and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And I'll tell you what, he says, I want you to tell Amasa, tell Amasa, are you not my flesh and my bone? God do so to me, and more also, if you be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. Why in the world is he going to replace Joab? What had Joab heard him say? Spare Absalom. What had he done? Absolutely ignored it. Whether it's good or not, he absolutely ignored it. What's he going to do? What is David now going to do? He's going to replace Joab with Amasa. So, God do so to me and more also, if you're not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. And he bowed the heart of men of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent to the king, saying, Return thou and all thy servants. So they're going to come back across the Jordan. So let me get... So here's the Jordan. So they're going to come across probably... Let me get here. So it's probably somewhere in that neighborhood of the Jordan. So that's what it's going to be. All right. All right. All right. Now, as we continue to look at this, it's a very, very interesting thing. Though David does not put it into words as he makes this promise to Amasa, part of his reason of making Amasa captain instead of Joab seems to have been because Joab had disobeyed his order in showing kindness to Absalom. It would have been difficult for there ever again to be a good relationship between David and his rebellious son. So if, from a political viewpoint, Joab may have made the right decision to kill Absalom. But David was Joab's king, and he had given a direct order, which had been disobeyed. So, visualize the scene. David's headquarters had been in Mahanaim. Remember where Mahanaim is? All right, let me see. Get up closer. All right, Mahanaim. So it's on the other side, on the east side of the river. So that's where it is. And any time they were going to be on that side, you'd have to go a piece to get over it and all of that. All right. In verse 13, say ye to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? So that's what his intent is. Now in 1725, look at 1725. How about reading that? Scott, will you read that? 1725. These were cousins. All these guys were cousins. That's amazing. They were cousins. So as David comes by back, he's going to come here. He's going to come here to the Jordan, and he's going to cross the Jordan, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of Gilgal. That's what he's going to do. He's going to cross the Jordan. So he's going to be escorted. Probably he could have waded across, but you don't let a king wade across. So they're going to meet him and everything like that. So in verse 14, he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah. They sent to the king saying, "Return." And so he did. And he came to the Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal, where I pointed out there, to meet the king and to bring the king over the Jordan. Now, interesting thing here. Verse 16. In verse 16, whom do we encounter? Shimei. Remember what Shimei done? "You know, good fella," he told David, "you're not fit to live. You're just terrible." So look at what his genealogy was. Verse 16, read that, someone. Now, what tribe was Saul of? Benjamin. So here is this Shimei, the son of Gera the Benjamite, who was of Behurim. And it's just kind of funny in a way. He comes down, and he comes down with the men of Judah to meet King David. There were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba the servant of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants with him. And they went through the Jordan in the presence of the king. And verse 18, what was brought? A ferry boat to bring over the captain's household to do what he thought good. Now, Shimei, let's read about this. Mike, you want to read that in verse 18? Okay, now this is good. So I'm going to have you read some more, but I like to make this real special. So he's going to come over and escort the king. And so, Mike, now put your heart into it now and read what he says now in verse 19. I wouldn't pay any attention to what I said. Don't mind that. Shimei is not now sorry for the rocks he threw. The clods of dirt. You see that? So he had done all that. So if you will, just don't pay any attention to that. Now, do you think David's going to pay any attention to it? Oh, yes. But on this day, look at what he does now. And Abishai, it's very interesting. Read the rest of it. Did you read verse 20? All right, go ahead. Oh, he's going to eat David up. But, read in verse 21.
Abishai, son of Uriah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this? Because he thirsts for more than anointed?"
All right, now, what is this? What about David? Had David, what was David's attitude between one about one who was anointed, like Saul? Remember, Saul was an anointed. What would David do? I mean, he'd go to the nth degree to avoid crossing him, kind of disobeying him. So he doesn't want to do that. So Abishai answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this?" And why does he say? Why would he be put to death for? Because he cursed the Lord's anointed. Now, What would Abishai and others have done if they'd cursed Saul, the anointed? See, Abishai is trying to be consistent. That's really what he's trying to do. So poor old Abishai is saying, well, I mean, he insulted the Lord's anointed. Shouldn't be put to death. That's what would have been done otherwise. So David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there be any man put to death this day in Israel? For don't I know I'm this day king over Israel? Well, I would have to say that that was a little bit in the question mark. It's going to be a problem to him to stay king. There are problems he's going to wrestle with. So I know I am king. And so he says, you shall not die. But we'll keep our eye on the Shimei, because when Solomon takes the throne, he'll see the Shimei. And it's interesting. What he does is said, now as long as you stay in the area, you can live. But if you go out of the area, then your life is forfeit. So he gave him a chance. So it's pretty interesting to me that he gave him the chance. You shall not die. The king swear unto him. And David will remind Solomon of that. So then Mephibosheth, and this is the next character that comes, and they're all coming to meet David. So Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. Now look at the evidence. Donald, what had this Mephibosheth not done in verse 24? And that'd be pretty, I mean, that's pretty hard to make up, because there's a span of time here involved. Yes. That's right. That's exactly right. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. And Ziba lied about his master. He lied. And Mephibosheth, I think he did a good job in overthrowing his lie. So it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem, he met the king. The king said, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? That's a dig of Mephibosheth. And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me a donkey, that I may ride thereon and go to or with the king, because thy servant is lame. Now he knew that. David knew that. And he says, Ziba has slandered thy servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Therefore do what is good in your eyes. And I like the attitude of Mephibosheth here. And verse 28, what does he say? And then the king, this is amazing to me. What does the king say to him? And then what did Mephibosheth say? Let him take it all. Isn't that something? Let him take it all. What right do I have? He appreciated what the king had done. So, let him take it all. Now, I've got a thing here. Let me see. All right. Now whom did we meet? In verse 31. Barzillai the Gileadite. Barzillai the Gileadite. And he had come from Rogelim and went over the Jordan with the king to to conduct him over the Jordan. So that was the idea. He's going to conduct him over the Jordan. Now, Barzillai. How old was Barzillai? What does it say? Hey, Jim, I'm going to be kind of kind to you, okay? What does he say here about in verse 31? Now, verse 32. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. I think you've got him beat. I think you've got him beat. That's right. What's that? Yeah, that's right. So he came down, and Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. And the thing is, he had provided the king with sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, over there on the other side. And he had really done a great thing. I mean, he had been so kind, brought all kinds of stuff to help David out. For he was a very great man. So, did David appreciate that? Oh, man, yes. There was no end to his appreciation. A very great man. The king said to Barzillai, "Come thou over with me, and I will sustain thee with me in Jerusalem." And I like this. Barzillai said unto the king, "How many are the years of my life that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern between good and bad? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant would just go over the Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back, that I may die in mine own city, by the grave of my father and my mother." I think that's so sweet of him. But then, I have a thing here I want to read. In the commentary. So I've got a page number here. I'm going to give something else. Take that. Okay. Now, this is an amazing thing, what I'm going to read. And I even have the number written. 941. All right. Now this is in the commentary that I wrote. All right, now Barzillai says, "Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold thy servant Kimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do with him as seems good unto you." And at this point, Barzillai wants nothing more than to go back to his own home, to die there, to be buried by the grave of his parents. And so, when David was giving the last instructions to Solomon, he said, "Show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." That's 1 Kings 2 and verse 7. So I want to read a little bit more about this. Very interesting. "Therefore, Kimham was either a son or grandson of Barzillai, nearly 400 years later." Nearly 400 years later, Jeremiah says that a remnant of the people of Judah dwelt in the habitation of Kimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go enter Egypt. Jeremiah 41 and verse 17. I think that's about everything. Now, one of the commentators that I think is a good one, Kirkpatrick, says that from this verse, it has been ingeniously inferred that Kimham received a grant of land from David's patrimony at Bethlehem, which retained his name for at least four centuries. Isn't that remarkable? David remembered him, and Solomon remembered him. I think that's remarkable. So, would you say that David remembered Kimham? He certainly did. So, he said, Kimham shall go over with me, and I shall do with him that which seemeth good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over the Jordan, and the king went over, and the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. So, they're all going over now, and what is the conflict here? If it's between whom? The men of Israel and the men of Judah. I mean, not the men of Judah and the men of Israel. So, in verse 41, behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away and brought the king and his household over the Jordan and all David's men with him? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us. Wherefore then are ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all at the king's cost? Or hath he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king. We have also more right in David than you. So it just really developed into a debacle here. So, and the last sentence here, and the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Meanwhile, as things were boiling, and they're boiling, sometimes a decision rests on a knife's edge, and it did here. There happened to be a base fellow, a low-down guy. That's what we'd call him, a low-down guy. And by the way, what is his genealogy? A Benjamite. I think it's important that we notice all that. Every time. Shimei, what was Shimei? He was a Benjamite. Now here is this guy, a Benjamite. So what did this Benjamite want? He was interested in Saul being king, the lineage of Saul. We have no portion in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. So all the men of Israel went up from following David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto the king from the Jordan even to Jerusalem. Now, I know that Gloria would like this story. Yeah, you don't have to say anything, but you like this story. I like this story, too. All right, so here's the thing about it. And it's a while before we get to it, but we're on the way. So in verse 3, all right, Steve, you want to read a little bit more? Verse 3. So that's what he did. That's the way he dealt with him. And so then the king said to Amasa, call me the men of Judah together within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amos went to call the men of Judah together, but he tarried longer. He had learned. So as he was getting ready, David said to Abishai, now will Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than did Absalom? Take thou thy Lord's servant and servants and pursue after him, lest he get him into fortified cities and escape out of our sight. So they went out after him, Joab's men, and the Kerethites, and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men, and they went out of Judah to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And they were at the great stone, which is at Gibeon. And Amasa came to meet them, and Joab. All right, notice what Joab did. When they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them, and Joab was girded with his apparel of war that he had put on. And thereon was a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. Isn't that peculiar? It fell out. And so Amasa went to meet. And as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, is it well with you, my brother? Everything all right? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand, kissing. But what did Amasa not pay any attention to? That sword that's down here. He didn't pay any attention to that. So he smote him there in the body and shed out his bowels. Ground, just it's awful, and he died. Well, I think we may get to it. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba the son of Bichri, and they were after him. They wanted him so bad. And there stood by one of Joab's young men, and he said, "He that favoreth Joab." And he that is for David, let him follow after Joab. And Amasa lay wallowing in his blood. It's terrible. When the man saw that all the people stood still, he carried Amasa out of the highway. I guess he dragged him. Dragged him out of the highway and cast a garment over him when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still. So when he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And so he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Bethmaachah in the north. And they were all gathered together. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Bethmaachah. And they cast up a mound against the city. They're fixing to besiege the city. And it stood against the rampart. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman. Here we are now. All right. And I like this too. Then cried a wise woman out of the city. Hear ye, hear ye. I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with you. So Joab said, well, all right. So he came near to her. The woman said, are you Joab? I like this woman because she said, she's not taking anything for granted. Is this guy Joab? How does she know? She asks him, are you Joab? He said, I am. Well, hear the words of your handmaiden. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spoke, saying, they were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so that ended the matter. I am of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why will you swallow up the inheritance of Jehovah? Joab said, Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri, by name, hath lifted his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Then the woman went inside, and look at what happens next. Ross, what happens next in verse 22? So the woman went in to the people in all her wisdom. So, in other words, they took her advice. Now, you see, how could you identify? Would you have to take a picture of him? What would you do? Cut his head off. That would be identification enough. So they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab, and he blew the trumpet, and they were dispersed from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Now we have a summary here of the of all the officials. Now Joab was over all the host of Israel, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the Kerethites and over the Pelethites, and Adoram was over the men subject to task work, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was the recorder, and Sheva was the scribe, and Zadok and Abiathar were priests, and also Ir the Jairite was chief minister. What term do you have there? Scott, do you have a term there in verse 26? Someone else have another term? Chief ruler? Yeah, minister. I don't think that the guy was actually a priest. I think he was a minister, an official. I think that's what he was. And in fact, here it says, chief minister unto David. I think that's what it was. All right. So I think we'll stop there, even though it may be a bit early. But I think it's better for us to stop at chapter 21, because then we have some appendices beginning at this point in chapter 21. So I will let Donald handle that. Huh? Derek. Oh, all right, Derek. Well, best wishes, Derek.